Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bringing in Julia Morales again here to the show. We appreciate you being here. Julia Morales, sideline reporter for your Houston Astros on one of the great teams in Major League Baseball. She and Blummer and Todd Callis do an unbelievable job.
Fantastic.
Julia, welcome to the show. How are you?
Guys, you're trying to butter me up.
Yeah,
you
that's right.
I like it. Yeah. Appreciate you. No,
well,
it's good to be here.
And I mean it. You've done a great job. You've been I saw on Wikipedia this year, ninth. So you were there for the really, really, really crappy
teams.
She
was there for yucky Astros before yummy Astros.
Right.
I like that. Yeah, 2013 was year one. They lost 111 games, and I was there for all 111 losses.
This is more fun, I would imagine, except when you play the Royals and the Orioles and the really bad teams that the Astros can't beat. You're with them every day, Julia, and you're talking to the guys. Is there any explanation for why they can't? They play down to their competition?
No, they don't have a great explanation. They don't like it. You know, they really don't like it. We're trying to figure it out too. And Jeff Blum played in the game. You played the game, so you just mentioned us. We're constantly trying to figure things out on our own, and we're asking Blum, like, well, did you ever go through something like this? And, you know, it's the playing up, it's the playing down. You hear about it. It's just they have not been able to get it together and win series against teams they absolutely should be beating. It shouldn't even be close. And that's frustrating, and you can tell it takes a toll on them after those games. You can tell Dusty Baker does not want to sit in front of the media. So, yeah, I mean, the good thing is, I guess you don't see those guys in the postseason, but no, I mean, they're in a legit race right now, and so that's kind of mounting, too. It wasn't as big of a deal when we were talking about them getting swept by the Colorado Rockies in April and things like that were happening because we figured they would figure it out and win enough games. And here they are. They've won enough games at this point. You know, they're on track. But we don't know what the A's are going to do. We don't know how this is all going to finish up. So they need all of them right now.
Julia, I'm curious. John and I were talking yesterday about a move that Dusty Baker made where he said the numbers said, you know, to pitch to
Salvador Perez.
In a situation where even the announcers for the Royals like, well, I wonder why they're not intentionally walking him and loading up the bases. Of course, he got a base hit a couple games ago. So I am curious because he did reference playing the numbers. Do you know if Dusty uses the numbers the same way that AJ Hinch does? I know they're all readily available to him, or are they readily available the same way they were under with Click as opposed to Lano when he was running the team?
Yeah, no, the numbers are there. That's absolutely there. You know, talking to bench coach Joe Espada, Brent Strom, you know, the pitching side of things and that entire staff, the pitching staff, my goodness, the numbers are still coming at you, if there's not even more in the last couple of years. And Dusty's been pretty open about that. He sees it. He sees these numbers, but he's still a use-your-gut manager at times. And he's also seen... I mean, he's also, you know, knows what his eyes have shown him over the years. So, you know, I think there was a time a couple months ago we were talking about this because it was a, you know, a guy he saw in the National League a lot and what he remembers about some of those matchups. And so, no, we've seen it. We've seen it with him, just pitching to guys or not pitching to guys for reasons that he'll stand up and tell the media. I mean, that's the thing. He comes out and he explains it afterwards. So he gives everyone his thoughts, but it is different. We are seeing different things from this manager than managers in the past. But he's Dusty. He's not every manager, and his resume is so different, and the way he feels about the game and the knowledge is so different. So now this is year two, and if all these guys know it. They've been in that clubhouse with him. They know how to work with him, and the coaches know how to work. You know, it's like it's not new anymore. So they've found talking to everybody. I mean, it sounds like they've found a good balance. And they've been able to win a lot of games, and they're just, but they've got to win some more. You know, I mean, this is going to be an interesting month and a half or so.
Yeah. Oh no, absolutely. Julia Morales with us here, AT&T SportsNet's Astros sideline reporter. Okay, let me ask you this because you were there for all of them, and the feeling and the how big it was. The Yankees win at Yankee Stadium where Altuve hit the three-run homer to win it. They beat Garrett Cole. That catapulted them to a 32-13 record. They were mm-hmm. they were a 500 team when that happened. The Altuve home run that beat the Yankees right before the All-Star break, or the win in Game One against the Dodgers. Which how would you rank them as far as big wins for the team this year?
Game one, you're talking about the regular, like a regular season game against the Dodgers.
In Dodger Stadium. Where McCullers beat them 3-0.
Those are both big. So I wasn't there. The Yankee Stadium wasn't there for that. You know, no one was really there for that. But that changed Altuve's year. You know, I mean, you said it. The team was 500. I mean, Altuve was playing like a normal guy. And all of a sudden, he started to go off. That was a game right after the COVID IL had just been a thing for the team. A bunch of guys landed on it, missed a lot of time. Altuve had, you know, he had COVID. So it was just like the timing of that was crazy because all of a sudden we saw a different team, and then they really started to roll off some ones, like you said. And then just started playing like themselves. They just started playing like a better team. The pitching was pretty good through kind of all of that, but then the offense started to show who they really were. The Dodgers game was, that's like playoff stuff. That, and then like it was next level though. I mean, the animosity, the things that are being thrown at them and said at them, to be able to just bear down and get a good win in the way that they did. I mean, that was like a shutdown, a beautiful win if you're on the Astros side, and you feel so good about it. So, I mean, did either one of those like change the season? I'm telling you, that Yankees game, we really did see kind of a change in the trajectory of how the whole season was going. The Dodgers game was more of kind of who we've just seen of them lately, right? Like they just step up in big moments and against big teams, and they win those big games. We wish we would see that more against teams like the Kansas City Royals, but they do have it in them to just, you know, everyone, here we go, you know, game's on the line, even though it's just game 100 or whatever it may be. But two great games this year, that's for sure. Two really good memories. I mean, this is a team that has the ability to put together some memorable performances, and they've done that over the last few years, right? So, like, we always have these games at the end of the year. We look back and, like, can you believe that happened? Those are definitely two top games from 2021.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about Fromber's game last night. I was really encouraged. I thought for the first time he looked like he had his command back. He was hitting spots. Yeah. I mean, just such bad luck there on that 0-2 pitch that, you know, clips the toe, or that turns into you're throwing out Benintendi at second base, and all of a sudden you got a 1-2 count, a chance to get out of the inning, and it turns into two runs. But I don't know what your thoughts were, but I thought for the first time I looked at the game and thought, this is the Fromber that I'm used to seeing, where his breaking pitch is really mm-hmm. tough to hit, and he was locating to the same spot pitch after pitch after pitch. I was really encouraged yesterday.
You should be. I was too. We were all, I mean, there was a commercial break. I think PK and I were all like, this is 2020 Fromber. We remember this guy, but it's the guy, like you said, he throws strikes, he gets ahead, breaking ball, done. Next. And he just had that confidence. He was smiling on the mound, even when things were going wrong. I mean, you mentioned some of the things that kind of transpired to turn that into a worse stat line than it felt like, right? Just because of the way he was pitching, nobody covering first on a couple of those. And the way that Fromber just kind of, you know, he turned to the back and he had this big smile, but that means that Fromber was feeling it, you know, that means that things were going well, because when things aren't, I mean, his whole demeanor changes. You can tell it's not by the way he's reacting to things. But when he's that smiley guy on the mound, good or bad, whatever happens, and he's, you know, that people have actually criticized him for that, but that's who he is, and that's who he's always been. So that's a good sign, like you said. I think it's just maybe he's back. He's put together some things, kind of figured out some things. The walks were bad. They were, you know, he was finding ways to keep his team in it, which is very encouraging as well, but the walks were not good. And so for him to kind of clean that up, and he only had one last night, It's definitely a good time for him to be putting it together as they go down the stretch here, because this is the guy you're going to lean on in what, game 1, game 2 of the, you know, the first playoff series. I mean, I don't know where they're going to go with lining guys up, but I mean, how is he not one of your guys, your horses?
Oh,
postseason.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Julie Romero is with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Okay. But how does it line up in the 7th, 8th, and 9th with relievers in Game 7 of the ALCS? You're up by one. Who are you throwing in the 7th, who are you throwing in the 8th, and who are you throwing in the 9th?
Are you stressing out about the order of how Stanek, Graveman, and Presser are going to go down?
Yes. That's what we've got a lot of time to fill, Julia.
Okay, what did you think of Baez last night, and does he have a chance to get into the 7th?
Okay, Baez looked better last night. We're closely watching the velocity for him. We knew it was down. He said it was down when he showed up. Is he going to be the guy that they thought they were getting when they signed him? I don't, you know, he's not there yet, but he still has some time. So let's see how he does down the stretch. He could be a guy in a big spot, big out, you know. But gosh, you have three. I just mentioned three shutdown relievers at the end of games. If they're all feeling good and pitching the way that we know that they can. It's a scary back end of the rotation. The bullpen. I don't think we talk about it enough, and we haven't really gotten to see it enough either. They're not playing their best baseball right now. They're playing what 500 ball the last couple weeks. So, you know, it's once they get to that point where they're winning the ball games that they should, and then we kind of see it. You know, every couple of nights they're lining up to do it. That's I think when we'll talk about it a bit more. But gosh, they have to feel better about that. I think you know, like you said, the. Who else is in the mix? The Christian Javier, what do you do with him? There are some questions, but they do have some time to kind of figure it out what works best for them. You know how it is. I mean, you know, you just kind of ride with who's hot when it comes time. So they've got some time. They've got some time, and they're going to be pitching in some big ball games in September with the lead, you know, being where it is right now. Those last couple of weeks are going to be basically playoff games, you know, just trying to find their way and claw their way to a division. So it'll be good for them, I think, just to figure it all out.
Yeah. You know, Graveman was choking up when he got traded that day. And Julia, you see these guys every day. He's happy to be here, right?
I love talking to him because that was one of my first questions to him, which I was a little forward. I'm like, hey, dude, why are you crying in your interview? You know, I mean, that was, hi, my name is Julia. I want to know what's all the tears about. But I love that he was just like, that's who I am. I invest myself into a club. I know everyone's families. I know how everyone's doing. And we had a good thing going. And they did. But, you know, we were shocked, too, what Seattle Mariners were doing. I mean, not that we really thought they were going to overtake an Oakland A's or Astros team. But if you're there, if you're in the clubhouse, you know this. I mean, you believe in yourself, and so he believed in all the guys that were in there, and those days are hard. It's a lot of emotion. It happens really fast. He's in a uniform 1 hour, and the next he's standing in front of Brian McTaggart and just, you know, taking questions from Chandler Rome, and it's a weird day. And so for him, I mean, he needed to grieve, you know, just kind of like what happened and just have his moment of like, that was a really cool group I was a part of that was thinking we were going to do something special. But let's go, you know, like, let's go, let's figure it out. He loves Brent Strom already. He loves like the analytics that are being thrown at him. Not that they want him to change a bunch, but of course they're going to lay it out for him. Here's what we think about you. Here's, you know, we think you're good here. Maybe could be a little bit better in the future. You know, like they'll have their whole meeting. It's a meeting everybody talks about. He said all of his friends have already called him asking him about the meeting. Like, what is Stromy doing over there that's so magical? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like he's getting those calls. So yeah, I mean, I think he's just a great teammate. And I think that's exactly what that showed. He is so in now with the Astros. And of course he couldn't wait to be a part of a first place team that's going, you know, and he's probably noticing what Ryan Stanek noticed when they joined this club. It wasn't like, let's get to the playoff boys. It's let's freaking win a World Series championship. Like there's no ifs or like, hey, if we get to the postseason, and that kind of took Ryan Stanek by surprise. So you hope Graveman, it's feeling that same thing of like, okay, let's freaking go. Let's do this.
Before we let you go, I want to ask you about balancing, you know, motherhood and your work right now, because you had your baby last year and it's your first child, and you and your husband, congratulations. But
I am curious,
you're in the sport that requires the most travel, that requires the most time away from a household because of the amount of games that are played of any of the three major sports. What's that been like for you trying to balance your time with your little girl and your time with your big boys?
Yeah, I can't figure it out. Yeah, you don't have, I don't have words, or I can't really explain like how I'm getting it done or how we're doing it. Like, I don't know. I'll tell you in the off season once I've taken a breath, just because you just figure it out. Everyone said that to me, like, you're going to figure it out. Right. And that's what we're doing right now. So we're not 100% traveling, just yet, which is a huge help, because it's like a normal year. I am at every single road game and, you know, I mean, and through the playoffs. So, playoffs are still kind of up in the air of what our plan is, and all that's fine, just given my situation. She's 10 months, you know, so this is very much like the exciting first year, a lot going on, needs a lot of, you know, we're trying to help her develop every day. I'm missing something, and that's heartbreaking, but at the same time, I mean, I knew that going in. I love my mornings with her, you know, we have our bonding time. Dad's doing a great job, my mother's doing a great job of supporting. I mean, seriously, I couldn't do it without help. You can't. It's impossible. And it's a reason why we waited a little bit longer, why I waited so long, because my career was so important to me. But I'm glad I did. I mean, I have a family now. She's the best thing in the whole freaking world. It's exactly what people tell me. It changes their world for the best. And we are figuring it out, though. It's a crazy life. She's up early. Games go late. I mean, you know.
I'll
it's
bet.
Fun. I've joined the club now. It's crazy.
Well, welcome. Well,
yep. Julia, that's great. Well, congratulations, and thank you for hanging with us, taking a little time away from you and your daughter. We appreciate that. But continued success, and we are looking forward to this team doing some huge, huge things. Thanks for hanging with us this morning.
Of course. Thank you, guys.
All right, there's Julia Morales right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, every NFL team's X Factor. Think about it. What's the Texans? On the other side, we will tell you. But first, why don't you talk about your patio?
TexasCustomPatios.com, the website. I'm pulling it up right now. So I want to see what they have going on the front page of it right now. I know that, well, this is great. So when you go to the front page, they show you all the different things they do. And you can take a look at their patio covers, their outdoor living rooms, which is what I have, outdoor kitchens, how they do their gable-style roofs, which is another thing that I have, which is great. It pitches the roof. It gives you more space. Their freestanding covers, that may be something that you need. Pool houses, they build that. They even build room additions and screened-in porches, balconies and railings, decks and pergolas. They do everything, and all of their work is top-notch. You get amazing quality. They are not a cheap company building cheap product that doesn't look good. When they build something, it is going to be done to wow and dazzle you, and in essence, all the people who come over that you entertain, whether it's your parents or your friends from the neighborhood or your buddies, you're going to get your money's worth out of TexasCustomPatios.com. Go to the website and just see what could become a reality at your home. I promise you, I didn't know if I could do it, and I did it, and I'm glad that I did. You can do the same thing. Go to TexasCustomPatios.com and turn your house into a home.
ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:21 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A little bit behind on this one. It's shorter, a little bit shorter, but X Factors. So I believe it was Bleacher Report put out every NFL team's biggest X Factor. Now, couple of them were quarterbacks, like Drew Lock. Here's the thing about an X Factor is you don't know how well they're going to play. You're not sure how well they're going to play. And if they play well, the X Factor is, holy crap, it could be a good year. Justin Fields is the X Factor for the Bears. If he can, you know, come on and play really, really well, then they got a chance for the Browns. It's Grant Delpit, a guy who can never stay healthy. For the Cowboys, it's Keanu Neal. Guy who they could certainly help with some defense. They're going through, Jalen Smith and Leighton Van Der Esch. Different roles they're going to have this year. So it's going to be interesting to see what he brings to the table for the Cowboys and if he can help that defense. Drew Lock for the Broncos is their X factor. Packers, Amari Rodgers, big wide receiver.
I thought it was going to be Amari Rodgers. I just... I question whether or not, with them bringing Randall Cobb back, that's an Aaron Rodgers thing. I just wonder if Aaron Rodgers is going to be like, yeah, great, great.
Let him well, be. if
because he would
the
help
X Factor
them.
Thing, absolutely.
He's going to be better than Randall.
Well,
Cobb.
Yeah, because you know what Davante Adams is bringing. You don't know what Randall Cobb has left. You saw Tanyan take a huge step last year. The X factor is going to be, you know, if Amari Rodgers comes up with a big season, now you got another nice target on the other side of Davante Adams along with Tanyan. Holy crap. They're going to be really good because you know they can run the ball as well. So the Packers could be really, really good.
Actually,
again.
I think that's the right call, but I don't know that Aaron Rodgers is even going to give the kid a chance.
Yeah.
Because he may just say, nope, Randall Cobb's my guy. I'm going to be gone after this year anyway. I'm staying with my buddies.
Could be. For the Colts, it's Eric Fisher. You know, he's got to be healthy, which he's not right now. Laviska Shenault for the Jags. Who do you think it is for the Houston Texans, their X factor?
Their X factor.
And I would agree with this one.
I would say the Texans' X factor. Titus Howard?
No, it's Davis Mills.
Really?
Yeah, because they've got to play him. They've got to play him. And you
I
know
think
what?
They are going to be so sad.
They're clearly
Davis Mills.
Rebuilding. As a result, expectations are low. They didn't have a number one. They didn't have a pick, and they could have the number one overall pick next year. With that in mind, the evaluation of the quarterback position is vital to the franchise's progression. Eventually, Deshaun Watson won't be on the team. He's likely to be traded. As of now, Tyrod Taylor, blah, blah, blah. Davis Mills coming off the board until the 67th pick. They saw enough potential in him with its initial selection. He has the traits to be a starting quarterback, but they have to see whether or not he can and he can handle it. And if Davis Mills comes up with a nice season, let's say 8 games in, they start playing Davis Mills, which they have to do at some point to find out what you got. And if he plays really, really well, it changes your entire organization.
I mean, yeah, Davis Mills isn't going to get in for a little while, I don't think. I think we're going to see Tyrod Taylor.
Maybe week 9 is their bye.
I think realistically, the X factor, though, I mean, yeah, X factors takes on different meanings for different. You know what? That's not bad because if you assume the Texans are not going to be players in a competitive playoff race, then yeah, their X factor you have to look at it differently. You can't use the same standards to measure it. So that's probably not a bad selection. If I'm just looking at it from a football standpoint, who the X factor is going to be, I would say Titus Howard is one. If he's right tackle, Titus Howard. And then the other one might be, you know, I actually think an interesting X factor is Lonnie Johnson. For all the joking we do, this is a Lonnie Johnson crap or get off the pot year, and he'll be playing next to Reed at safety. So you got two guys who were draft picks in back-to-back seasons who were considered. I mean, Lonnie Johnson, you spent a second rounder on Lonnie Johnson. You need Lonnie Johnson to become something. And I think this is a big year for Lonnie Johnson to be, okay, this guy might turn into a player, or, okay, he's not going to be a Texan. We can move in a different direction. And let's face it, the back end of the secondary really has needed help. Eric Murray wasn't very good last year. Oh, he was terrible last year. So having Lonnie Johnson step up and maybe become a factor, I think that could be an interesting X factor because I think the front seven might be a little better than we were anticipating under Lovie Smith. I don't know about the secondary, though. That's why I think he's kind of an X factor to me.
Yeah. I think there's a few. There are more than a few X factors back there. I think somebody coming off the edge, a Jacob Martin could be an X factor. A Jacob Martin, you know, creating some pressure on a quarterback.
That's
off the
like
edge.
Real football stuff, though.
Yeah.
That's not an organizational X factor. That's like, I think that's the X factor that I was thinking
that is with most teams. Like, they've got a lot of guards in here and, you know, a cornerback, James Pierre for the Steelers. I mean, it's a lot of football. With the Texans, it's, you know, organizational change because football is just not that good right now. All right, it's 827 on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, you've got some odds some good stuff.
I got really good stuff on like who's the odds on favorite to for the coach who's going to be fired next. I've got some fired coaches. Where does David Culley? He guy's never even coached. I mean, where is he on the list? He should be way down on the list.
Oh, he's got to be way down. He's got to be way down.
We'll find out when I come back. I've got that, and I've got some playoff odds for Texas A&M, too. I've got will they or won't they odds for some of the top teams. We've got that. And then also want to make sure that we circle back a little bit to what's going on with Tony Busby and Rusty Harden. Let's just say that they're both chirping again, and it's time for another press conference today at 10 a.m.
You know who else chirps? Craig DeCerf.
Craig DeCerf does chirp, and I'm fine with that. Craig DeCerf has the opportunity to, you know, make people happy all the time, and that's what they're doing. They won 5% award, which is if you finish in a fifth percentile, top 5 percentile, in I think it's 5 different categories, you win this award. There's not many of them given out yet. GMC, I was right there when they gave out the award to Craig DeCerf and the group out there in Angleton. They do an incredible job. The customer service, the pricing, the satisfaction. You can get the same car from a lot of different places. For example, the GMC Sierra 1500 crew cab right now, $3,000 purchase allowance is available. There's a lot of places you can get great offers in the same vehicles. But what the differentiator is they're going to give you more for your trade-in, and then the service before the sale, during the sale, and after the sale, it's unmatched. They win customer service index awards year after year after year. They are the best people selling some of the best vehicles that you're going to find at the best prices. And that's out at Angleton. You can drive out there. It takes about 42 minutes, or shop online at LanceZCars.com.
Don't hold me down. You don't got to be perfect. You just got to be worth
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
The Texans' X Factor is their ability to use analytics. Trust me, I'm a numbers guy.
What? Why are you?
That's from not Lance Zierlein. I think you've muted
Thrust
him.
Trust me.
Well, it's the Texans and the analytics.
Oh, analytics.
Analytics.
For those who missed the analytics, let's listen to David Culley, who is a guy who is not a numbers guy.
I know analytics has those things out there.
Still.
Anytime we talk about analytics now,
I like it.
We got to play that.
But I don't like it just because, like, yeah, that's my coach.
That's our coach. That's our guy.
He's a great guy. What? Great guy. He's just...
Papa Culley is going to...
It feels Papa Culley.
Hey, Papa Culley is definitely going to give us some gold. He's already given us some radio gold.
You know, Julia Morales is sitting there. She works for the most successful team in the city. And they're talking about the numbers. And you got numbers on top of numbers. And you're... Basically, the analytics are swinging the odds in the Astros' favor. Don't believe it. Go look at their performances since 2015. Like, it's... They're one of the best teams in baseball since that time. Analytics has played a key role in finding advantages. David Culley, I'm just going to play with my gut.
Yep.
Just however I'm feeling. If I'm not feeling it, I'm not feeling it.
Well, he's not a numbers guy. So what does he think of the odds of what? I think the odds that he will be fired this year are basically...
Well, they've got every coach's odds.
I mean, it's okay, the odds, I would have to...
Here it is. Okay. NFL coaches... Who are the three safest coaches in the NFL at 200-1?
I would say Belichick is one.
That's one.
I'm
you're going to get number two easy. You might get all three.
Number two is Andy Reid.
That's right.
And number three is going to be Bruce Arians.
That's right. You got all three.
Okay.
Who's the next group? There's two who are 100-1.
Two that are 100-1.
One of them may surprise you a little bit. One is a successful team, and one is a young, up-and-coming coach with a up team that could be up-and-coming?
The team that could be up-and-coming.
One team is a legit contender now.
Packers.
No?
He's not. I would think he would. He should be.
Packers.
He should be up there. It's pretty safe. I mean, he's got them to the NFC Championship game the last 2 years.
Here's the two who I'm talking about. Yeah, he should be. He actually should be 100-1. Unless you thought it has something to do with Aaron Rodgers. Sean McDermott from the Bills.
Oh, yeah.
Makes sense. And then they've got Kevin Stefanski.
Huh.
So my dad spent some time up in Cleveland. He went up to Cleveland to watch Bill Callahan work, the offensive line coach. My dad went up there.
If they fall off drastically this year with how the expectations that there are, I don't think he should be up there.
Stefanski?
Yeah. Because if they fall off drastically.
Well, you never know with their owner, too. Like, you never know. I think LaFleur should be there ahead of Stefanski. But my dad's like, boy, he said, I got to tell you something now. Stefanski, he said, great guy. Came over and talked to me for a while. He said, I really liked the way he ran practice. Very sharp. Really understood how to keep a practice, you know, moving and flowing. But they did a lot of teaching at the same time. He was really impressed with Bill Callahan, who he's known for years, and Stefanski. And he said, you know, I went to the Browns practice with Freddie Kitchens a couple years ago. He said, I used to coach with the Browns, obviously, but, you know, they had different ownership at the time. But he was impressed. He thought, man, this is different than when Freddie was there. Stefanski is impressive with how he's got things working. Robert Saleh's 50-1, Urban Meyer 50-1, Nick Sirianni 50-1, Brandon Staley 50-1, Arthur Smith 50-1. You're right. This is kind of crazy.
All new coaches.
You would expect that, but where do you – so LaFleur 25-1.
He's gotten them to the NFC Championship game.
Who's the most likely to be fired coach?
Nagy.
No, but you're not – well, Nagy's 15-2, 7.5-1. The 5-1, Vic Fangio.
Okay.
Vic Fangio is at 5-1. Mike McCarthy, 6-1. That feels about right.
That feels about right.
Cowboys. Cliff Kingsbury, 7.5-1. Feels right.
Yep.
Matt Nagy, 7.5-1. Zach Taylor, 17-2, which is 8.5-1. Feels about right for Cincinnati. Then it goes Mike Zimmer, 9-1. I could see that. And Zim's going to start potentially rubbing some players the wrong way, too. He already is on his players about vaccine stuff. He's already all over his quarterback. Every chance he gets, he praises backup quarterbacks about what great leaders they are and how much the team buys into them. It's his way of basically bashing Kirk Cousins. I mean, Mike Zimmer's press conferences, he has a difficult time hiding his disdain for certain players. When they piss him off in practice, he really doesn't care. Next up is John Gruden, 12-1.
But he's got such a big guaranteed deal.
And next up at number 4, 5, 6, 7, at number 8, David Culley, 18-1. Number 8. It's his first year even coached.
And with a terrible
team.
But
you think he's going to be Bo Culley? How long did Porter last?
Culley lasted
2 years.
2 years.
18-1 feels a little much. To me, I'd throw him in a 25-1 list. I would have Matt Rhule, he's got 22-1. He's not going anywhere. Vrabel's not going anywhere at 20-1. Realistic, Joe Judge is 28-1. Dan Campbell, 28-1. These are new coaches. Pete Carroll, Mike Tomlin. I don't think there's going to be a lot of firings, honestly. When I look over this list.
Every year there are 6 or 7.
You think there are? Well, okay. So I do think
there are some teams that are going to drastically underperform.
I could see the top 5 or 6 all getting fired.
Yeah.
I just have a hard time believing that Vrabel, Culley.
The really bad teams have Rhule, new coaches. They have new coaches, so it's going to be difficult. But Fangio, I can certainly see. But Nagy, if he doesn't win, And oh, by the way, if Justin Fields is not developed, Nagy's not long for this.
Or if Nagy doesn't go to if ownership is pissed that he doesn't go.
Well, if he keeps on losing, they're going to have a sit down with him and play Justin Fields. Oh, absolutely.
Here's another one for you. Win groups. I'm just going to do two teams: Dallas and Houston.
Dallas. What do you mean win groups?
Win groups. Okay, Dallas. Okay, if I'm going to give you the win group, win numbers: 15-17 wins, 10-14 wins, 5-9 wins, or 0-4 wins. Dallas Cowboys, and I got odds for each of those groups.
Dallas Cowboys will be.
I like playing this game. I hope somebody offers this to me
in the 9-10 group.
Well, you can't do that. There's 5-9 and then 10-14. Ooh, so which ooh, one? Yeah.
5-9.
Okay. That's 2-3. That's the favorite. You got to pay money for that.
Okay.
I'd be willing to take a shot, and it's basically even money, 10-14. So you don't get great odds of that. Let's go to the Houston Texans.
They're in the 0-4 group.
15-17.
That's
I want to give you your options because maybe you want to take a shot at
15-17.
And it's crazy. 151. That should be 1,500-1.
It should be.
They're 150-1. They're totally 10-14 wins, 18-1. Like, is there anything in your mind that you could get to 10 wins and get you 18-1? That should be 50-1.
Yeah.
That's not enough odds.
Not even close.
These are the worst odds. So you got 0-4 or 5-9.
0-4 is the favorite.
Doesn't really matter. There, it's the favorite. 5-8.
5-8 a
you're
second.
Giving you 50 to you have to put 80 to win 50.
Which one would you bet?
0-4.
You bet 0-4. I think I would take the better odds at
5-9. Just play the odds.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 60 to win 50. You're still -120.
Mm.
These are butthole odds.
I don't like that. Especially since you see Carson Wentz. Now, if Carson Wentz isn't going to play in the first 6 weeks, you're going to play Jacob Eason or Sam Ellinger.
These odds suck.
No, they're terrible.
I'm not going to waste this time. They're literally not giving you any chance to make any money.
Do you see Carson Wentz and Quentin Nelson might be back week one?
Yes. I always knew that. Ballard was screwing with the media.
Yeah, Ballard.
It's 5 to 12 months. Now, 12 weeks. Now,
Ballard's an a-hole.
He did think that there was a chance Quentin could miss more, but he's not. And it was the same injury. Now, here's one before you get to a break. Odds to make the 4-team playoffs. University of Texas, yes, is +900. No, is -2,000. Now, if you win the Big 12.
Yeah, I'm going to go no. I'm going to
Texas,
say,
by the way, also has the number 9
hardest
rate. But
you got to lay 20-1 on that. That ain't. There's not. That's not. That's not. That's.
Yeah, it's no good.
I'm going to tell you, they're going to have a. They're going to have
you
a. Hard
basically,
time.
Would you say yes at +900? Or is that a waste of money?
That's a waste of money.
Okay, Texas A&M, no, is 800 to win 100, or would you say yes, 100 to win 500?
100 to win 500 is better odds.
I'll take a loss.
That beginning of that season, and they can. They've got Alabama here. Even with a loss to Alabama, they still got a shot. They still got a shot to get into the playoff.
How about this? Iowa State's got better odds to make the 4-team playoffs than A&M. They're +450.
Easier conference,
but
much easier.
If A&M makes it, it's because they've beaten some teams. Like, you have a chance to really score points. It's like Simone Biles with the difficulty level.
Yeah.
Their strength of schedule, their difficulty level is really going to move it up.
All right. When we come back.
About Alabama? No, +300.
When we come back, I'm going to tell you why my wife might not be still infatuated with Joey Votto. Okay,
she never was. That was a dream you had. She doesn't even care about it.
That's right. But
you don't even know reality anymore.
We've also got some Asian slander and the media slandering an NFL owner. Next, right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, it's Aqueduct Plumbing.
You got plumbing slander?
If you've got plumbing issues, and I'm not talking about, you know, being able to, you know, work in the bedroom. What I'm talking about is plumbing issues. Repipe experts is Aqueduct Plumbing. Don't pay a middleman markup, okay? They do all the work. They come to your home. There's a lot of guys that are general contractors. Yeah, we'll get that done. And then they take their cut, and then they pay the plumber. This is what they do every single day. You get a free on-site estimate. They arrive at your door. The installation will be done by them, not a subcontractor. All right? You get a professional job at a direct price. We really like these people. You will like them, too. Plumbing is so hard.
Yeah. Plumbing, finding a plumber that you can trust, but you can trust them, whether it's repipe, putting new pipes in. Tankless water heaters, what a difference that's made in my family. You have bigger families like I do, you need that hot water to last forever, and that's what they can do with tankless water heaters. They do that as well. Or just your basic plumbing needs. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com. 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 Make sure that you check out their website and then give them a call or have their number handy the next time you have plumbing needs.
You can't get enough of your favorite ESPN 97.5 show. We've got just the thing for you, and it's not f***ing safe for work.
Won't somebody please think of the children?
For all the uncensored interaction, head over to twitch.tv/ESPN975.
Say what?
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Sorry.
Hey, Joey. Aaron Boone said that he...
Hold on.
So wait a minute.
Hold on.
That's Joey Votto at the podium yesterday.
And he brought his dog with him? Because I heard somebody growling.
No. Play it again, Aaron.
Play his dog growling.
Play it.
Sorry.
Why did he say sorry?
Because he farted.
No, that was his dog growl.
No, he farted.
He just ripped one at the podium.
So my wife doesn't like that, so guess what? Oh, you're out, Joey Votto. Beat it. Beat it. You're no longer part of my dreams, okay? So beat it, Joey Votto.
You got some weird stuff jumping off today, Joey.
You're
no longer part of my dreams, Joey Votto.
Joey Votto.
Hey, no.
I mean, his face was the dead giveaway.
Yeah,
like, he literally does the little kid like, oh God, what did I just do?
Look at what I did.
He goes, sorry.
All right, before we get to this.
Didn't you have a story like that when you were in college? No. I know the teacher, professor.
Yeah, the professor's wife that I asked whether or not she was pregnant.
Yeah, you had that.
That was bad.
There was not the farting one. Okay.
I never had a good fart story.
No.
You had a good poop in a popcorn box story.
It's an amazing story.
No, it's really
gross. It was amazing if you were there for it.
Really, really gross. No, your roommate.
I said something to my roommate, Lonnie, the other day on Facebook Messenger. He's like, did you tell him you ruined my Reeboks, my new Reeboks I had? I'm like, yeah, I told him, Lonnie. They weren't ruined. You washed them off.
All right.
Can we get...
Let's get LSU Brian in here, and then we're going to get to this Jack Morris story.
Yeah.
When we come after LSU. What do you say, LSU Brian?
What's up, guys? Hey, so I was listening to y'all's odds. I got two teams that I completely disagree with the odds. One is college at A&M to me is overrated, completely overrated. Now I think overall they got a good team. The defense is going to be really good, but your two most important positions on the field, I think, is your quarterback and offensive line.
Yeah,
and they're breaking in a completely new offensive line, and supposedly they're starting a true freshman. So that, to me, I think they're way overrated. And so the odds on them, I wouldn't bet anything on them. And then as far as the other way, man, Sean Payton should be 200-1 with the other three guys. There's no way that Sean is getting fired. I mean, he's to New Orleans like Belichick is – to the Patriots. He's got a built-in excuse. I mean, his first year without Drew, I think Peyton should have
he's 20-1. He's 28-1. He's 28-1 along with John Harbaugh, Ron Rivera, Sean McVay, and Sean Payton. I'd say that shows
that's
that
pretty,
they're highly unlikely.
That's pretty safe.
All four of those guys.
Those are all safe.
I'm sorry. It's actually Sean Payton, McVay, Ron Rivera, Harbaugh, Joe Judge, Dan Campbell.
Judge
and Campbell are brand new.
Well, Judge was there last year.
Because I met him. Yeah, that's right, because I met him at the combine. Yeah, not last year, the
I
year
wouldn't
before.
Put him up there with those guys.
No.
I'd put another crap season.
I would put Judge. Well, he's also a guy who is potentially rubbing some veterans the wrong way. I would say Joe Judge is not like, okay, I'd leave Joe Judge at, I'd make Joe Judge 25-1 with Mike Tomlin, LaFleur. Like, how do you have Joe Judge ahead of Matt LaFleur?
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I don't think I love those, but I'm kind of with LSU Brian. Sean Payton, I'd put in a 50-1 list.
Yeah. Yep. He's pretty safe. Okay. So it was. By the way, it was. Damn it! It was Joey Gallo, not Joey Votto. Damn it! That was Joey Gallo that farted. I said Joey Votto. And so Joey Votto, my wife still might be enamored with Joey Votto.
That was a dream you had. She's never even said anything.
She doesn't. Yeah, actually, I told her I was pissed about it. And she was like, who is Joey Votto? And I said, well, it's somebody you had relations with. I'm sorry. But she was like, don't even know who that is. So, okay, you're weird. So Jack Morris. You listen to what he had to say. As his partner on the broadcast asked him about how to pitch to Shohei Ohtani.
Now what do you do with Shohei Ohtani?
Be very, very careful.
Now, keep playing it, because it wasn't long. It wasn't long before Jack Morris found out from the higher ups at his station.
I wonder what
play it all again. Play the whole thing again.
Now what do you do with Shohei Ohtani?
Be very, very careful.
Do we have audio after that?
Yeah, there's audio after.
Oh, it's a longer audio?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious to see what his partner says there.
No.
That was what it was clipped at, and then later on it talks that, like, it's his full apology in the ninth inning.
Oh, yeah. It keeps on going on that. You don't have that one?
No.
Okay, the one that I had. He realized.
Send him the one you have, because I am curious to see how after
I did
those...
it. I put it in there. Actually, it should have kept going. Anyway, he said this. I sincerely apologize if I offended anybody.
Oh,
especially,
that's his ninth inning apology.
Yeah, yes, that's the ninth inning apology.
Especially anybody in the Asian community for what I said.
Do we have it?
Okay, yeah, I've got that.
Play his apology. I want to hear his apology.
Well, folks, Shohei Ohtani is coming to the plate, and it's been brought to my attention, and I sincerely apologize if I offended anybody, especially anybody in the Asian community, for what I said about pitching and being careful to Shohei Ohtani. I did not intend for any offensive thing, and I apologize if I did. Certainly respect and have the utmost respect for this guy. And don't blame a pitcher for walking.
Oh, that was a pretty good apology. I mean, is he canceled now? I just feel bad.
Nah, he won't be.
It's a pretty big Asian community there in L.A.
Oh, no, he'll face the worst of it today.
Yeah.
Today, yeah. Will it be one of the lead stories on First Take? Where Max Kellerman can talk about, is it going to be one of the First Take stories?
Yeah, pretty much.
I know it's going to be on HQ.
Yeah.
With Mina Kimes and Sarah Spain and Pablo Torres. That's going to be, it might be the lead story.
Yeah. Don't they have, they've got an Asian guy now that had to tell Stephen A. how bad he was because of the face.
Yeah, they bring in, he's one of their researchers or something, and they're like, hey, listen, can you come in and tell Stephen A. how offensive he was? Thank you. We're going to clean this up on the air. No, we're not saying
that.
Can we read this?
No, we're not saying that. We're not saying that, because then we're going to have to apologize.
Okay. We just got a text
I
can read the text.
For insensitive.
We got a text in that said he could have just said, without an accent, you have to be careful.
I wouldn't say this. I wouldn't say this about you. No, it's insensitive. It's insensitive.
No, but it's a text from a random person.
It sounded like
you. Well, I'm just telling you now. When John says I wouldn't say that, I'm rattled to my core.
I would stay away from that if I were you, because you'll have to make an apology later. Jack Morris sounded like he was doing an Elmer Fudd imitation. It was a bad Asian imitation.
Let's hear it again.
Yeah, I mean, it was just not good. And
now what do you do with Shohei Ohtani?
Be very, very careful.
No. How would you have done it in your Asian accent?
Well, it's weird because you just tell me not to read this one that mentions Godzilla, but you say, how would you say it? And then that person called you the P word.
Yeah. I think you should just stay away from this in our new world here, and you especially, with how woke your league is now. I think the Roughnecks, I think the XFL, they'd be like, well, I can't. I think they play male golf or female golf for food. I really do. And
we'll see
in the XFL
when the Rock gets it cracked.
Yeah, not
up,
anymore.
We'll see.
The Rock is considering a presidential run. No, he's got to be.
Of course, that's something we say now in 2021. You know, the Rock is considering a presidential run. Wait, what?
What
year? What have you been in a coma? Okay, listen. I know Donald Trump just got done being president. The guy. Wait, what? What? Donald Trump. When did you go to Tacoma, sir? 2006.
What?
Well, this is going to be pretty shocking too. Then, you know the wrestler, The Rock, with the people's eyebrow. Well, he just went into full time acting, and now he's also going to be making potentially a presidential run. Just put me back out. Yeah. Can I go back into a coma?
I don't want to be in.
Can I go back into a coma?
Let's
I saw
talk
some
a little...
weird stuff in the coma. It doesn't compare to what the world you guys woke me up to.
Yeah. No, I'd rather be in a coma. TGS says maybe you're in a coma. Maybe you guys have been sitting there like you're in a coma. You never check on your homeowner's insurance. You never shop rates. Why would anyone offer you a better rate if you never shop rates, if you never look for a better price? Why would anyone? All they're going to do is raise the rates on you. That's all they do is raise the rates. And it's your job to try to find the best. When you're shopping for shoes, when you're shopping for clothes, and you're shopping for cars, you probably price shop it, but you don't price shop homeowners insurance. TGS Insurance has aggregated a number of A-rated insurance companies, and when you give them your address by texting the word money, that's all you have to do to kick it off. Text the word money to 232323. They are going to have a listing of the best rates that they can find with you from A-rated insurance companies, and you can compare that against what you're paying. The average savings is $900. $900 is the average savings annually from TGS Insurance. How do you get in on that? Just text the word money to 232323 or go to tgsinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.